for reflection today, a Bible reading will be taken from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, and chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. It reads, "The oracle of God, which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and thou wilt not hear, or cry to thee violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou make me see wrongs, and look upon trouble, destruction, and violence are before me? Strife and contention arise, so the law is lacked, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes perverted." And chapter 2, 1 to 4. "I will take my stand to watch and station myself on the tower, and look forth to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by his faith." May we bow down our heads in prayer. Father everlasting, without whom anything can be, we thank you for every opportunity of gathering together in your presence to worship you. Through your word, you brought everything into existence. And Father, we pray that through your word, you enable us to walk side by side with you until we meet you face to face in your everlasting kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So the theme for our reflection today is the righteous shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. And our text is taken from the book we read, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2. Verse 4, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Behold, he whose soul is not upright in him shall fail, but the righteous shall live by his faith." The prophet here is Habakkuk. He was active around 612 BC. And his prophecy was written in the book of Habakkuk. Around 612 BC, the Babylonians were kind of oppressing the Israelites and fighting to overcome them and take them captives. So a lot of bad things were happening in Israel, particularly around Jerusalem. There was a strong pressure against them, trying to topple them and to displace them. So the people were seeing lots of evil things happening. Habakkuk lived around that time and was seeing these things happening. So the book of Habakkuk is a compilation of the prophet's laments. he raises questions concerning so much injustice, evil, tragedy that were happening in the world at that time. He's also concerned because God plans to send Babylon, and an intensely evil nation, to judge Israel, using an evil nation to judge a nation that belongs to God. So that gave a lot of concern to Habakkuk. So throughout the book, we see that Babylon is an example of any nation that exalts itself above God and practices injustice, violence, and idolatry. Today in the world, we see similar things. There is so much suffering in the world today. There is so much evil and violence all over the world. Some national leaders are violent and terrorize their people. Corruption is at alarming rates. Many nations rise up against others and crush the weaker ones. The poor are oppressed. There is hunger everywhere in the world, while there are people who swim in prosperity. There is robbery, terrorism, insecurity, sickness, disaster everywhere. There are all kinds of things happening in the world today, similar to the ones that happened at the time of Habakkuk. But in this prophecy, God reassures Habakkuk that things will change. He says, in the end, God reminds Habakkuk and every generation that God will deal with evil. We can continue to love and trust his timing and plan as we remain faithful to him. Bad things are happening. It happens every day. We experience injustice every day. We go through sicknesses. At times, it may seem as if God doesn't answer prayer any longer. But what we are assured of in the book of Habakkuk is that God's timing is the best. Eventually, God will address the evil things happening in the world. And God will act in a special way to reassure his people that he's still with them. So as a result of the above circumstances at the time of Habakkuk, he prophesies that the righteous can survive those things through their faith. The righteous shall live by faith. No matter how bad the world may be, the righteous will always live through their faith in God. Two words are mentioned here that can enable us overcome bad times. One is righteousness. Righteousness. And the other one is faith. Righteousness and faith. The righteous shall live by faith. Concerning faith, what does that mean? Faith. According to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 2, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And it goes on to say, for by faith it is the men, for by it the men of old received divine approval. Through faith, the men of old received divine approval. And it goes further to say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So we need faith, which is assurance of things we are hoping for, and the conviction of things we've not seen. People have gone through faith in the past and got God's approval. And then the Bible goes on to say that there's no way we can please God without faith. If we cannot have faith on simple things of now, here and now, how can we have faith on things eternal? So faith is very, very important as Christians to journey along with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Then the second word there is righteous. The righteous shall live by faith. What does the righteous mean? Righteousness is defined as the quality of being morally correct and justifiable. It can also be considered synonymously with rightness or being upright. Being right, doing the right thing, being upright. Then in the chapter we read, the book of Habakkuk, chapter 1 and 2, righteousness here points to being upright. A person that is upright is a righteous person. A person that acts in accord with divine or moral law. You live your life according to divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin, morally right or justifiable. Righteousness can also refer to a person that is decent, ethical, good, honest, honorable, just, moral, nice, right, right-minded, straight, true, upright, virtuous. These are the qualifications of a righteous person. Remember our theme, the righteous shall live by faith. So a person that lives by this standard shall live by faith. And then a person that is not upright or a person that is not righteous can be described as bad, dishonest, dishonorable, evil, evil-minded, immoral, indecent, sinful, unethical, unrighteous, wicked, wrong. A person described this way is not righteous. So righteousness is the perfect holiness of Christ. It is an essential attribute to the character of God, meaning one who is right, opposite of sin. To commit sin is to go against God's design for our lives. Therefore, righteousness is the only living standard that is acceptable for us to stand before God. The wages of sin is death, but in the path of righteousness is life. Proverbs 12:28 says, in the path of righteousness is life, but the way of error leads to death. But the question is this: who is righteous? Can anybody meet all these standards mentioned earlier to be able to stand before God? And what did the Bible say about being righteous or anybody being righteous? In Romans chapter 3, 10 to 12, it says, none is righteous. No, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have gone wrong. No, no one does good. Not even one. So the Bible says that nobody is righteous. Then in the book of Psalms, chapter 14, 2 to 3, it says, the Lord looks down from heaven upon children of men to see if there are any that act wisely, that seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike, corrupt. There is none that does good. No, not one. The Bible says nobody is righteous. And also in the same Psalms, 53, 2 to 3, it says, God looks down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any that are wise and seek after God. They have all fallen away. They are all alike, depraved. There is none that does good. No, not one. So by God's standard, God considers no one righteous. He searches to see if anybody is righteous. And he says, no one is righteous. So, how can we be saved by faith if we are not righteous? Or, who then is righteous? Who can be righteous? God the Father himself is righteous. Jesus Christ, his Son, is righteous. When somebody came to Jesus and said, good teacher, what can I do to inherit the kingdom of God? Jesus answered, why do you call me good? Nobody is good except God. Jesus was not saying that he wasn't good. Jesus himself is God. So only God is good. So how can we be righteous? And how can true righteousness we will be saved by faith? So it goes on to say, the Father, through the Son, and in the Spirit, gives the gift of righteousness. It is God, the Father, that gives the gift of righteousness. It is God that can give you the gift. It's a gift. Righteousness is a gift. Nobody can be righteous. Only God is righteous. But God can give you the gift of righteousness. And this gift is given to repentant sinners for salvation. When a sinner repents, God gives the gift of righteousness. Such believing sinners are declared righteous by the Father through the Son. It is God that declares a person righteous through the Son. In the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 5 to 6, God declares Abraham righteous just for believing him. It is only God that can declare you righteous. David did all kinds of things, including murdering a man and taking away his wife. But God still said, David is a man after my own heart. It is only God that declares you righteous. If we look at what led to God's acceptance of David as a righteous person, David was attached to God. When that happened, he was pricked to his conscience. He went into prayer, asking God for forgiveness of sin, as we see in Psalm 51. And God saw the commitment of David. Because God knows that nobody is righteous and nobody can make it. So, God can declare you righteous. And only God can do that. And God declared Abraham righteous, as we saw. And like we see in Genesis chapter 15, 5 to 6. It reads, and the Lord took Abram outside and said, now look to the heavens and count the stars. If you are able, then he told him, so shall your offspring be. And the Bible says, Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Believing God. Remember what faith says. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe that God is there. You must believe that God is listening to you. You must believe what God is telling you. You must believe the words of the scripture that was given by God. So Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3 affirms this saying. In Romans 4 verse 3, it says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Also in James chapter 2 verse 23, the Bible says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. Just for believing God. When you believe in something, you pursue it. You stand firm for it. You defend it. That's what Abraham did. So believing God is a key to righteousness. Abraham is therefore known for faith. We call him father of faith. He's also known for righteousness. Abraham has lived his life since about 4,000 years ago and is gone. Today, we are the people on earth. And God is looking at us to see our faith and to see the way we pursue righteousness, the way we pursue his things, the way we believe him, the way we stand with him. Jesus is the righteousness of God and the way to the Father. Standing with Jesus, sticking with Jesus, holding on to Jesus, you are holding on to the righteousness of the Father. In John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Believe in God. That's all that Jesus required. Let not your hearts be troubled. Everything that is said, let them not trouble you. Just believe in God. Believe also in me. And then in John 3:16, which is very popular, every little child can recite it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And Romans chapter 10, 9 to 10 says, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For man believes with his heart and so is justified. And he confesses with his lips and so is saved. Believing. You defend what you believe in. There are people who believe with their lips, but their hearts are very far away from God. It's not just saying, I believe. There are people who say, I believe. They even go to church, but their hearts are very far away from God. So Jesus pointed out to this in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, where he says, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. And then in John 14, 15, it says, if you love me, you will keep my commandment. If you really believe in God, you will keep his commandment. By saying this, he's not saying listing of rules and regulations. When Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandment, he implies you keep my teaching, you keep my ways, you follow my example, you do what Jesus will do. If you come to a situation, you ask yourself, if this is Jesus, what will he do? So he who has my commandments, that is in John 14, 21, he who has my commandments keeps them. He is who lost me, and he who lost me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Also in John 14:23, Jesus answered him, "If a man lost me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the words which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." Believing requires action. Believing in Christ should reflect in your life, in the way you comport yourself, in the way you present yourself to the public, that people will not doubt that when they see you, they say, "Truly, this is a child of God." So that we bring glory to the name of God. So it goes back to what we said earlier, what righteousness means and what righteousness is not. Through our lives, we will exalt God. Through our lives, we will express how much we love God and our belief in him. And so, in conclusion, in challenging times like we are now, and in challenging circumstances all over the world, particularly in the life of today, and in times of life's pressure, in times of life challenges, in times when we face intense pressure in life, no matter what it may be, remain upright. Do what is right. Look unto Jesus. Trust God. Follow the teachings of Jesus. Walk by his own footsteps. Stand firm. Don't look back. Don't deny Jesus because you are under pressure. Let your life show that you are a follower of Christ. Let your light so shine before people around you so that they will see the good works in your life and give glory to our Father in heaven. So may we bow down our heads in prayer. Father everlasting, without you nothing can be. We give you thanks and praise that you love us so much that despite our fallen nature as human beings, you still accept us as yours and declare us righteous when we believe in you and follow your footsteps. We pray, O Lord, that you give us the strength to do what is right in your sight and live a life that is good and acceptable before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.